SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Kevin, happy Monday. It is Super Bowl week. I'm super excited about this. I noticed that the lines haven't changed much yet. The Chiefs are still -3. The total still sits at 56.5. Are you so excited for the Super Bowl? I mean, I am. I know you're going with the Chiefs. I'm going with the Bucks. We're going to have a great Monday show next week with whoever wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
There'll be a lot of trash talk.
There'll be some bragging rights on the line, no doubt about it. I do look forward to getting those results when we get them. But I think it's interesting, and you've mentioned it, this -3, this 56.5, it's just been sitting there. Nothing crazy's happened yet. Nobody's overwhelming the market, pushing it in either direction, side or total. We'll see how true that stays from now and until Friday, but certainly until kickoff, of course.
Yeah, and we were talking about this before the show. You're expecting for that number to stay around 3, but the total is what you're expecting to either increase or decrease, correct?
Yeah, I would just expect the total to move. Like, it just...
Agreed.
Because there's key numbers in totals, obviously, but they are not as obvious as a -3 or then 3.5. So I think people will be more willing to, you know, over 56.5, under 56.5, move it a little bit, put a 57 up, put a 56 up, whatever it might be. I would just think that by the time we get to the Super Bowl, at some point, this total moves a little bit. Maybe 100%. It's only just up by a half or down by a half, but I would expect a little bit of movement.
Yeah, it'll change as soon as sharp money starts coming in on this game. We'll probably see a change throughout the week when the injury reports come out or if any breaking news happens. I want to talk about, you know, there's some new props that are out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. There's a ton of them that keep getting posted. We talked about this last week. When props become available, you want to bet them right away. Later in the show, we're going to get into all the Super Bowl props with a guest. But, Kevin, do you still stand strong in that statement of bet the props as soon as they become available? I know that's something that you like to take advantage of.
Yeah, again, you'll see movement if you don't. Those yardage totals, attempts, whatever it might be. Now, again, I think you very well could still get to the window today. I don't think you're going to lose as much value because I'm sure people are still waiting, and that's why we're going to be joined by Holden Kushner in this hour. We had talked a little bit about Friday, the way he will typically bet these props early. I was doing some in-game live with him yesterday, and he's already got some positions down, and hopefully the viewer and listener out there will like what he's bringing to the table, and maybe they'll get themselves some early props in. But you also mentioned, Erin, some new markets, and there's one market that really, really grabbed my attention. Total net offensive yards over 799.5, under 799.5. Will there be 800 yards of offense in the Super Bowl? I think that is a fascinating market. This is certainly not something that we ever see posted throughout the season. This is a Super Bowl only kind of bet. I was going through it this postseason. There's only been 3 games that have crossed this threshold. All 3 of them were played on wild card weekend. However, when these two teams met beforehand, over 900 yards of total offense, I think, is a really interesting prop.
That's definitely an interesting prop. And welcome in our radio listeners. You're listening to SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by Kevin Walsh here on The Early Line. We're talking about Super Bowl week, getting into some props. Kevin, overnight, I'm looking at this right now at the website, FanDuel Sportsbook. I see there's penalty props that were just posted. Also, in the coin toss props, you have coin toss result, coin toss call result, coin toss winner wins game, and one of the best I like to win the coin toss and win the game. That's actually good value. If you take the Chiefs plus 205, Bucks plus 370, we're going to get into more props as the show goes on, but just continuing to see more props being posted on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, and here's another one that you'll really never see. Coaches challenges prop. Result of the coach's first challenge, call stands / confirmed is -120. Overturned is -105. And then team to use that challenge challenge flag first is -115. I think there's a world in which you might be able to find an edge on both these markets. I think certainly use the first challenge can be a bit more random, but perhaps throughout the year, Reed and more willing, or Bruce Arians more willing to throw the flag. But as far as call stand / confirm, like, I would actually feel like overturned would be how I would want to play that, thinking that they will That's only throw that flag, right? Because timeouts will be valuable if they are positive a call will be overturned.
Yeah, and if you click on to just the normal props that you're used to seeing during the games, you have the same game parlay, you have the anytime touchdown score, first touchdown score. So you have all these normal props that you're used to betting on, but you can basically bet on any play of the game at this point. And like you just said, throwing the flag or something like that. There's so many random things you can bet on. Some of them are 50-50, like the coin toss, let's be honest. I guess you could look at the historic, how many times it's hit heads, how many times it's hit tails. But for those that are wanting to bet on this that don't feel comfortable putting money on something that is 50-50, do you think they stick with these normal props that they're used to betting on NFL Sundays?
So, listen, we know you're kind of wacky, your props, coin toss, this, that, and the third, right? You're not going to have a genuine edge. But just this total net offense prop that I throw out there, you can break this down. How many times did a Chiefs game have 800 yards of offense? How many times did a Bucs game have 800 yards of offense? Weigh out the value that when they met, there was 900 yards. This is a new market, not just for you, but for the book as well. There could be value.
Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the NBA.
You're listening to the home of the winning edge.
It's easy to get.
Just keep it here. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. Let's talk some NBA. There are 10 games on the board. The first one I want to get into is Portland-Milwaukee. So the Bucks lost to the Pelicans on Friday. That was an atrocious game. It was 68-45 at half. Then they did come back in that, but they didn't get it done. Then they lost again to the Hornets on Saturday. What is going on with Milwaukee, Kevin? They are favored by -10 in this matchup, which is surprising given that they just lost the last two.
So I'm going to see if I can put this into context for people with how surprising this start is for the Milwaukee Bucks. 11-8. It's not like this team is below .500. Like the Raptors and the Heat, like these teams are like 4 or 5 games below .500. It's not here that, you know, the sky is falling or anything of that nature. Last season, okay, the Milwaukee Bucks were 52-8. 52-8. So,
insane.
The Milwaukee Bucks, all they'll need to do is win 41 games in a row in order to match their start last year.
Not going to happen.
Okay? Before they lost the 9th game, okay, to try and match what they did last season. This is not what this team was supposed to be doing. I mean, when they
won, not expecting this at all.
Okay, like they have 11 wins through 19 games. Last year, through 19 games, they were 16-3. And they, by the way, that was in the midst of a huge double-digit win streak that saw them start the year 24-3. 24-3 is how they started the year, and they're 11-8. This is jarring from a Milwaukee Bucks team that people thought with the addition of Drew Holiday was supposed to get better, not worse.
Mm-hmm. Agree with you 100%. But that's why I'm kind of surprised that they're laying 10 in this matchup. I know this is the opening line, but it was also -10 last night, so it hasn't shifted. Is this a case where you fade them just based on how they've been playing? I mean, Damian Lillard has been sensational. you could also just look at him to take his over prop. I feel like he's just been hitting that nonstop. Sure. But it just seems a little interesting to me that they're still laying 10, given they just lost the last two. I would expect this to be around 6.5, if that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we are still being asked to pay this price to back Milwaukee. I would have been interested in Milwaukee at a discount here. Because, and you know, look, they've now not covered two games in a row. They've only covered twice in their last eight matchups. Here comes a Portland Trailblazer team that has now been able to cover two games in a row. But realistically, why'd they cover last game? Damian Lillard hits a ridiculous three that puts them up to 44 points score at the buzzer. They missed that. They would have been losers of three consecutive matchups, and they wouldn't have covered against the Bulls. The Blazers are depleted. I mean, they are in a really, really bad spot. It's tough for me because I don't really love what Portland is bringing to the table. I would have a lean to the over in this basketball game. These are a couple of over teams that can score it. But I think the total is going to be really high. Like, really, really, like mid-230s at the minimum.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that throughout the day. Let's get into another matchup. Sun Mavericks. The Mavs have lost the last five. Luka saying it looks like we don't care after losing two games against the red hot Jazz. I mean, I feel so bad for Luka. I feel like he's trying to get it done and he just cannot. On Saturday, Dallas lost by 6 to the Suns without Devin Booker on the court. They're playing the Suns again tonight. They are the underdog in the matchup. Suns plus 1.5, so essentially a pick 'em. I actually like Dallas here because I feel like they need this win. One, for confidence. Secondly, for Luka. And third, just because I feel like it's going to swing that way eventually where they do get the win.
So it's really, really interesting because I have backed Dallas, I believe, the first three or four games of this losing streak. Like, I really thought that this team would be able to turn the corner. They certainly do not. They're really, really struggling. You mentioned it. Five consecutive losses. Here is a horrifying statistic if you wanted to back the Dallas Mavericks. Forget the spread number, right? If I give you a spread number, you go, one and a half, spread doesn't matter, I'll play money line. Okay, here's a money line trend. The Mavericks have been home favorites five times. They've won once as a home favorite. What in the world is that? How is that even possible?
So if you follow that trend, you're taking the Suns.
Listen to the Suns trend that really pushes this over the edge. The Suns have been road dogs four times. They've won all four games as a road dog.
You would hate to see the Mavericks lose six straight, though. Poor Luka. He was, an MVP caliber looking player, and then now he's just they're losing and losing and losing. What do they need to do to turn the corner? Like you said, you're expecting them to eventually turn it. I just mentioned I like Dallas because I think they're going to turn the corner because they have to. But based on the trend you just said, it sounds like the Suns could easily win this.
And look, I don't know about easily. The game that they just played, Phoenix won by 6 because they won the fourth quarter by 11. I mean, Dallas just cannot put together a complete basketball game right now. They need more from Kristaps. Kristaps didn't even play in that game against the Phoenix Suns that first go around, which is pretty interesting to me. He's just not been what you would have thought. I would think an inspired, fired up Luka Doncic goes out there, just puts up a heck of a performance. So I could see somebody getting involved with his points plus rebounds plus assists. But again, the number is going to be so monstrous, tough to tell whether or not you're going to want to actually make that move there. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the total. Chris Paul, what a hero, gets it over. We talked about this, right? Last go around. But there's a reason why he was the hero. Again, they scored 13 points in the last 20 seconds. You might want the under in this go-around, considering the way things played out.
Yeah, it's tough to see the Mavericks struggle. Another team that had been struggling is the Heat, the Hornets and Heat. They play tonight. Miami, they finally have Jimmy Butler back. They got one win over the weekend against the Kings. Charlotte also won big over the Bucks. Tyler Hero is questionable for the game currently. Heat is favored minus 4.5 in this matchup. Are you looking towards the spread or total in this one, Kevin?
Well, I'm just pumped for this game. I'm so excited to see Jimmy Butler back. You mentioned
I love watching Jimmy Butler back. I love it.
Yeah. He had 38 and 7, not 38, but 30 8/7 was incredible in his return. How about LaMelo Ball might be getting the start now with a Terry Rozier injury? I was texting people again. I've mentioned it. I've got the James Wiseman Rookie of the Year. I'm a big LaMelo Ball fan, so if he wins it, so be it. But, like, I don't know. Did this guy lock up Rookie of the Year against the Milwaukee Bucks? Comes off the bench, scores 27, starts the second half, was a plus 37. Plus 37? Are you insane against the Milwaukee Bucks? I mean, this kid looks like an absolute superstar. The props market is going to be something to follow for me here, Aaron, for both Jimmy Butler, because it looks like Tyler Hero could miss this game, as well as LaMelo Ball if he's in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys could keep it going and have big-time performances.
Yeah, LaMelo Ball absolutely went off. And we actually were talking last week that there's trade rumors swirling him as well, that he could potentially leave after his contract is up. Another big matchup tonight that I'm looking forward to watching is Lakers-Hawks. So the Lakers are still on the road. It feels like forever that they've been on the road. They had a big win over the Celtics Saturday night by 1 point after losing to the Detroit Pistons the game before. The Hawks are coming off a win over Washington. Plus, Trae Young has been sensational, in my opinion. So the question here is, how tired are the Lakers? They're favored by -6 right now. I might back the Hawks in this one, even though they did have some rest, the Lakers. But that's a big number, I feel like, against the Hawks right now.
Yeah, and look, the rest that the Lakers had was minimal. It was just the one day off, right? The Wizards, the Hawks come in a little bit better rested, having their last game be against the Wizards on Friday. The Lakers have not covered in 4 games in a row. The Hawks have covered in 6 of 7. So I understand wanting to back ATL. I think this could be a game where maybe we see a better Lakers performance. It's a tough game to tell, I think, as the day goes on and on. Plus, everyone's questionable until they're not with the Lakers. So we'll wait and see with that one.
Agreed. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Next up, we have Holden Kushner joining us to talk about a sports betting holiday, the Super Bowl.
Come on.
Admit it.
You do your own play-by-play in your head when you play horse.
Don't you? You do you, bro.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We're bringing on right now the host of In Game Live, Holden Kushner, to talk some NFL props. Holden, how are you this morning?
I'm tired. You guys woke me up. I'm out here in Denver. It's like before 6 o'clock. The sun's not up. I remember doing morning radio. It was awful. You guys, I envy you. You look like you're awake. You're both speaking English coherently.
It's the coffee.
If I break into some other language this morning, just know because I'm tired. I was so afraid my alarm wouldn't go off, and I didn't want to disappoint Kevin. He was so excited. He was like begging me for months to come on. Like, come on, wake up in the morning.
All right,
let's do this. Let's go, people. So, lady and gentleman.
So Super Bowl 55 is this Sunday. It is now basically a sports betting holiday with so many props to choose from. Which represent the best value in your eyes?
So yesterday, Kevin and I were actually looking through the board, and I said, how about rushing attempts by Darrell Williams? And the market set it at 8.5, and he looks and he goes, no, FanDuel has a 7.5. I says, oh my gosh, Kevin, we got to hit this. Here's a guy that's averaging double-digit rushes per game, especially here in the playoffs over his last 3 games. When they really said, Le'Veon Bell, you're out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not back until last week. He averaged, a yard per carry? I still think they're going to give Clyde Edwards-Helaire the ball, but I think that Williams is the guy that's going to get. He's the guy that's guaranteed, to, in my eyes, to get at least double-digit carries. So 7.5 is way too low. That's my favorite bet so far.
And, you know, Holden, despite the fact that Aaron is a Sixers fan, I'm not sure anybody believes in the process more than you and I. It's something we talk about every single time we get ready for in-game live. So I kind of want to just even set the deck for people. And one of the things that I'm so fascinated by when it comes to Chiefs-Bucks is we obviously have a very big sample size. The Bucks have played 19 games. The Chiefs have played 18 games. Maybe the Chiefs really only 17, because I don't know if week 17 helps you at all. But you've got a big sample size to deal with. But you also have a one-game sample size that might hold a lot of weight for people, because these teams already played one another. How are you kind of balancing out what you've seen from these teams over the course of a full year versus that one performance where these teams already played?
Yeah, if I got a tiebreaker, I'll go back to that game. But for the most part, I'm not going to go back to game number one. A lot's changed. Jamel Dean didn't play in that game, cornerback with the Bucs. And the one thing I'm concerned about, if I am if I'm back in the Chiefs this week, is how that defense has really come along the last couple of weeks. Even the secondary. Now, they're soft over the middle still, but Vita Vea came back. That helped stop the run. I think they got a little lucky last week with Aaron Jones getting injured, but really Jones wasn't averaging much more than 3 yards per carry either. So, you know, I look at it as I'll use it as a resource if it needs a tiebreaker. How about that, Kev? I'm not going to sit here and run through the first game log. No.
That makes sense.
So let's say you're not running through the first game. What betting trends are you looking towards? I know Kevin and I were talking last week that AFC teams have won 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls, but they didn't mention at the end of that that 3 of those were from Tom Brady and the Patriots. So when you're betting on props or just betting on this in general, what trends are you following? Are you looking historically? Are you looking, I guess you said you're not looking at the last matchup. So what is it that you're factoring in, just the most relevant information?
Yeah, this has changed since then. As far as trends go, like, this team has done this much in 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls. I don't think any Super Bowl that's played in the past is going to have any bearing on this one, with the exception of the Chiefs played last year, so at least they have some experience. But how do you quantify that? So there's a lot of different things to do. I wouldn't even call Darrell Williams' last 3 games a trend as much as, you know, a little bit of evidence that he is going to be used in the backfield. He and Edwards-Helaire are going to split the snaps, which is very important too. You want your players out there on the field. And then you look at Tampa Bay. You know, you look at the other side, what they're giving up, what they have given up this season, what they have given up in a small sample here so far in the playoffs. But, and Kevin knows this, and anybody that's seen the show, like, it's very tough to get me to bite on a trend. There's a big one going on in hockey right now. Cam is on it all the time. It's like you back the team on a back-to-back that loss. Every week they're winning. Every night they're winning. It seems that they're winning. To me, I look at this and I say there's too much variance. It's like the time I get in is when this is going to blow up. Mm-hmm. There's not enough of a sample size there. So as far as trends go, wrong guy to talk to about that.
I do think, and that's so interesting, right? Like those historical trends. Oh, the Super Bowl is 63-28 to the over, whatever the heck it is, right? All these different things. I totally understand trying to put those to the side. But the player props market specifically, Holden, right, that you dabble so much in, when we talk over yardage, over receptions, whatever it might be, I don't know if trend is the right word, but what's the sample size that you're looking for? Are you honing more in on the Chiefs allow X amount of rush attempts? Are you looking at the Bucks allow X amount of receiving yards to number twos? What are the kind of things that you're trying to hone in on when you're dealing in those specific props?
That's exactly what it is. You're looking at a lot of different numbers, a couple different angles on each team, Chiefs defensively throughout the season. You know, we got 16 games here. There's never, 18 games, 19 games at this point. So we have enough of a sample size football-wise. You know, for me, I'm still using last year's stats probably through week 4. And now, by now, we know what teams, there's a lot of evolution in teams. Teams like the Chiefs, sometimes they want to play, sometimes they don't. Now we're in the playoffs. I have a hard time thinking that they're not going to go out there. So it's a little narrative driven. It's very statistics driven. And we're looking at player props. There's just certain stats you have to look at. You have to look at snaps. You have to look at routes run. You have to look at touches. You have to look at targets, air yards, so many different things when you're looking at NFL props. I think it's more based on usage of player, and then you get into where the opposing defense is soft or maybe they're too good. Those are some of the things I look at, Kev.
That's so interesting. Now, I'm wondering, with 2 weeks between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, for you, I'm sure you've placed a lot of bets. So what's the best time to bet on the props, and what's the best time to bet on, let's say, the spread and total as that continues to change?
All right, I'm going to lie. I told you I lied. It's too morning for me. But during the season, usually you stay up till the wee hours of the morning to try and get the line, the opening line. You try and hammer that as much as possible. So at least that's my thing during the season. Get on early, because everything's going to get steamed up before game time. And I think it's really important now with the Super Bowl. There have been a lot of lines out since last week. FanDuel just dropped their lines. And you will notice as the week goes on, especially for the big players, if you're getting in on Mahomes, if you're getting in on Kelce, basically any offensive player, do not bet the over within a couple of days of the Super Bowl. And definitely do not bet the over on Super Bowl day. There's just a lot of new bettors. We got a lot of new markets, which is cool. We've got a lot of bettors that are just putting a lot of money in, steaming these lines. If you like a prop today, I recommend you get in on it pretty soon. That's for the overs. Unders, there's a lot of value for us on Saturday and Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that. That's as every bit as big as getting in early on the line would be hitting an under or two the day of the game.
So that's actually what I wanted to ask you, Holden, to try and get a sense of the when for the unders, right? It makes a lot of sense. People prefer to bet overs in the props market. I've said it this many of times. I don't know if I've ever actually physically put a dollar down on an under prop. Maybe I'll tell someone I like an under prop, but as far as a dollar, I don't know if I can do it, right? But it makes so much sense that these numbers are going to climb, climb, climb. What's the process like for kind of figuring out the when for unders? Or do you basically just say, I'm only looking for overs, and on Sunday I'll sit down and figure out which numbers are too high, and that's when I'll bet my unders?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. Sunday we'll sit down and we'll do it. Now, as the week goes on, we should also look at where these props are going. What's the movement? If I'm interested in Mahomes passing prop, where did it start? Where is it now? Where do I think it's going to go? And again, it's going to be the big names. It's going to be and it's going to be super uncomfortable to bet unders. I can't stand it. I don't know any. I do know people. I do know a couple of guys and a lady that love betting unders. They're miserable people, horrible people. They make money, but they're just miserable all the time because they're betting for no points. They're betting for people not to succeed. I'm like, you're just not a good person. Why would you bet unders all the time? And then I sit back and I think about it. I'm like, they're good people. They're just, you know what? They have more intestinal fortitude. So I don't know where I'm going with this, guys. But, yeah, just bet the unders day of game and try and get in as soon as possible.
Are you the type of bettor who will bet the over at the beginning of the week and then on those days try to win even more money by taking the under, whether you're betting it Saturday, Sunday, or even during the game?
So hold on. So as the week goes on, you're saying what? Going to bet over or unders or what?
I'm saying if you have a player prop that you like and you take that and then it continues to rise during the week, will you bet on that same exact market and take the under?
Great. Wonderful. Will I middle my bets, basically? Very rarely will I middle the bets. What I did yesterday, though, with Williams, got in somewhere at 8.5. I love the FanDuel line. I'll double down if it goes down to where I am. But as far as middling my prop bets, it would have to be such an extreme swing to where I got in at this number and it goes high enough for me to hit the under again.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to see, just kind of figuring out that timing of it all. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on here, Holden, is just to try and get a sense of kind of the when and the how. I know we're coming up against the break, Aaron, but when we come back, we'll you know, get some of the who, right, from Holden and who exactly he's putting those dollars down on.
Yeah, coming up, we'll talk about the MVP category as well. Stay with us here on The Early Line.
We are the first 24-hour network giving you the most extensive fantasy sports and odds coverage of all major sports. Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We also have Holden Kushner with us right now. We're talking some Super Bowl props. Right now, I want to touch on the MVP market. So this is the first Super Bowl matchup between quarterbacks that each have won an NFL MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. Looking at the odds, Mahomes is favored minus 105 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Brady at plus 200. Then the next person is Tyreek Hill, 14-1, followed by Travis Kelce, 15-1. What do you like on this market, Holden?
Yeah, I think the Travis Kelce one's interesting. Now, I'm not one to sit here and steal props from people, so I'll give Brian Ciano a little shout out here, the producer for Pharrell, Scott Pharrell. We were discussing this on Saturday. And, you know, the more you think about it, if I'm getting 15-1, how many times that they play this game is Kelce going to be the MVP? I'd say, you know, at least one time out of 15. Now, we don't have tight ends winning the MVP. And you got to look at it like this. What if Mahomes throws five touchdowns and only two are to Kelce? But I could also see a scenario where Kelce is the leading scorer. He's the leading receiver. He ends up with like 12 catches. He sets records, 12 catches, 120 yards, two touchdowns. How can you not see Travis Kelce going out and putting up those type of numbers? So, yeah, it also depends on who you think is going to win. You think the Chiefs going to win? Fine. If you want to play the game script out, how does Tampa Bay win this game? How do they do it? Is it going to be Brady again? Is it going to be one of the running backs? Is it somebody defensively? I mean, Shaq Barrett went out, had five sacks. Now, that was up against a team that was playing with like a four-string left tackle. But for me, Kelce is the best value that's out there. And if you really – what was Daryl Williams at? Because you'd have to take a stab. I'm into Daryl Williams this week. He'd have to fall into the end zone a couple times to do it too. But if you want a sleeper, I think Daryl Williams would be the guy to bet.
That's interesting. You can even bet Darryl's on the position of MVP to award winner.
65.
You can even bet on that market that we're talking about, QB minus 420.
Ooh, QB minus
and wide receivers at plus 650. Sorry, we're kind of all talking over each other. I was coming in saying that the position of the MVP award winner, there's actually the QB market minus 420, wide receiver plus 650. So there's not great value in taking that market if you do think that it is a QB in this situation.
But so the wide receivers at plus 650, the wide receiver position. Where is this? Yep. Go tell me where. I really like that, actually, because Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, there's some real standouts at the wide receiver position. It's just silly to bet. They don't want you to bet the quarterback position. I don't blame them. minus 420 is here. Go waste your money. That wide receiver prop is really fascinating. And then where are they as far as the tight end? So if Kelce's 15 to 1, he's plus 1,500. How can I don't think that there's going to be a tight end on the Bucs side, but if I'm getting the same money and you can give me Gronk and Cameron Brayton there, why not?
Yeah, they did move tight end a little bit. They put that actually at around 10-1. You know, this is interesting. Smart. To continue to peel kind of through these other alt MVP markets. Mahomes versus the field minus 140. You get every other player that isn't Patrick Mahomes. I think that's interesting. Here's the question, though, that I want to ask you, Holden. As you talk about Travis Kelce at 15-1, the gentleman right in front of him, Tyreek Hill, at 14-1. This is the reason why I can't help but ask people, and you obviously included, how much you are valuing that first game. Because what Tyreek Hill did, if Tyreek Hill does this at all, 13 catches, 269 yards, and three touchdowns, he's going to win the MVP point blank period. It is ridiculous to just assume a repeat of that performance. The reason I bring it up, though, it's going to be two schools of thought, I think at least. Either they can't stop Tyreek Hill and give me every single Tyreek over, or this Bucs defense treats Tyreek Hill like he is the only player on the field, and then Travis Kelce is going to catch 15 balls, have 120 yards, and two touchdowns. Does that make sense to you that there's a world where they either can't stop Tyreek or they overcommit and leave themselves vulnerable elsewhere?
I hope they overcommit, because then my Kelce prop's going to cash, man. I'll tell you that much, because Kelce's going to be open all day long if they do it. How much does it factor in? He had a huge game, okay? And I'm not saying Jamel Dean being in there is going to stop that, but...
I think we just lost.
Oh, hold on a second. I got something in my ear.
Let me continue.
Okay. Anyways, sorry about that, guys. So getting back to that, as far as Tyreek goes, he's not going to have 3 touchdowns and 700 yards again. It's just not going to happen. With that being said, that's not a bad bet either. You know, if you wanted to go with 2 pass catchers from the Chiefs, if you think that they're going to have a big day, but again, you know, it's tough for me to lay down both because it's got to be a Mahomes. It's either Mahomes and one of those wide receivers. You're getting enough value at plus 1,400 and 1,500 to go with that. But come on. I think to me, I've got to pick one of them. And that one guy is going to be Kelce. The second guy, just a deep dive, is going to be Williams.
And right now, you can, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, bet on if Kelce's going to catch the first pass. You can bet on him against Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce to catch the first pass is minus 135. Tyreek Hill plus 105. Do you go into some of these smaller markets, like who will catch a pass first, and go on these players that you really like Travis Kelce?
No, because it's just there's way too much variance there. It's just a crapshoot. That's something if you want to have some fun. Like, I want to know who's
going to. Even if it's just like a fun bet, yeah. Thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a coin bet thing. I'm no fun, Aaron. Just go ask Kevin. I'm just a
business. Why are you no fun? Better. It's a Super Bowl. It's like a betting holiday.
I'm no fun. I don't want to waste money on things that I can't research and the numbers that tell me this. There's 50-50. You actually got a pretty good shot, right, at hitting the coin toss. I don't want to bet the coin. I don't know what's going to happen. Is it weighted down? Is there some type of conspiracy? Possibly, guys. No, there's no conspiracy.
I like the coin toss.
You bet the coin toss? Are you going heads or tails? Or did you
Wait, no, I think we should do, I'm going to go with heads on this one, but we have like 4 markets. We have the coin toss result, coin toss call result, coin toss winner wins game, to win coin toss end game. So there's 4 markets there on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I just think it's fun to do the fun ones on Super Bowl that you don't get to have every game.
That's the whole thing. That's why this is the biggest betting moment that we have out there. It's like the Super Bowl, and then we got March Madness. There's no doubt. Everybody loves it. But I'm no fun, Aaron. I'm telling you right now. I won't bet on that stuff. I'm just a miserable, miserable person. It's early in the morning. You know, I can't bet on coin flips and stuff like this. Give me the meat and potatoes. Give me the touchdown scores. Give me the first touchdown scores. Give me the side. Give me Daryl Williams. After he goes like 2 carries for 8 yards, I mean, you think I'm angry now?
A lot of Daryl Williams.
Call me back the day after that.
a lot of Daryl Williams. Let me ask you this though, Holden. Right, I understand that you're like, all right, I'm not betting the coin toss, or I'm not going to bet who gets the first catch, because for you, those are, you know, coin flip, no pun intended, markets, right? They're
I'm
not
no
really
fun.
A true cap. But let me ask you this: there are a lot of new markets that come available when the Super Bowl comes around that you can research and you can break down, right? And, you know, one of them that, again, I was talking a little bit earlier in the show, and I had mentioned this market to you yesterday, total net offensive yards. I mean, there's research you can do alongside this market. You take across, you know, the games that these teams have played this season. You know, if you want to factor in prior Super Bowls, if you want to factor in, you know, this season's playoffs and get a sense for how things are trending. Because even if this market is new for you, for me, for Aaron, for those at home watching and listening, it is new for the book as well. They have not posted this market for any game this year other than the Super Bowl. So will you get in these alternative markets that you can cap, but you are capping for the first time this year?
At a very, very light unit. You know, it's probably a quarter of a unit or something like that is what I would throw it on. You brought this up yesterday. You say, hey, you got to look through it. So I looked through it, and I looked through it this morning. And, you know, the Chiefs are averaging well over 400 yards a game. Tampa Bay's top 10 in that market, but you have to play out game script. You know this, right? That's what I tell you all the time with player props, game script. How do you think the game is going to go? Because if you don't have a preconceived notion of how a game is going to go, why are you going to bet? You're just going to say, oh, I think this can happen on this side. And I think there's not going to be correlated bets there. And you're going to leave a lot on the table with this one. How do I think the game's going to play out? I think it's going to be a lot tighter. I think it is going to be, you know, a 4-6 point game. Could be a field goal game. If you got that hook at 3.5, a little concerning. But in order for this to hit, Tom Brady and the Bucs are going to have to be way behind. I think they're just going to have to throw. They're not going to be able to run. But I see a world where Tampa Bay stays in this to where they don't have to put up 400 yards. And I don't think the Chiefs throw a 500-yard spot up there. So I would actually lean under. I think it'll be a little bit closer than that. Could the Chiefs put up 550 yards and then this thing just blows through it? Yes. But if I have to play this out, I'd go the under. I think it's very tough to get 800 yards in a game.
Yeah.
Let's switch to some defense props. So Patrick Mahomes has been sacked just one time in the postseason. Tom Brady has been five times in the last three playoffs games. Right now I'm looking at the market. Player to record the first sack. Frank Clark sits on top, plus 500 favored. Do you like this market as something to bet on, or would you just bet on the QB to be sacked first? Patrick Mahomes, minus 125. Tom Brady, plus 100 currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Oh, you're asking me to have fun now. Let's go Tom Brady. Let's go Mr. Immobility. Mm. Hold on. Which way would you guys go? You just threw this out here at me. Yeah, how about the guy that
I would say Tom Brady.
Yeah. The other guy's toe fell off, though. But no, Mahomes can still run. You're right. It's Tom Brady. It's definitely Tom Brady. The guy can't move. He's a statue back there.
Holden, before we get you out of here, pal, I do want to get your take, though, just on the game as it is, the side or the total. I know you're going to be messing around with these props, my friend, but the Chiefs are sitting there at minus three. Is that a number you'll buy on? And what about this total sitting at 56.5?
Yeah, I hate pushing, but I will absolutely go. I will take the Chiefs at the three. I would not go with the three in the hook. I still think that the Chiefs can win this game 4 to 7 points, but there's too much that could go wrong when you take that hook. Avoid that at all costs. You could buy down a half a point to 2.5. I think the juice is sitting there in the 140s. I am not a 140s juice guy. If this thing was around 130, sure, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with it, but the side is minus three for me. And what was the other question? We were going to do the total. So again, let's wait until Sunday morning. Let's see if this thing gets bet up to 57, 57 and a half, even 58. I think it does. And at what point do I hit the under? Pre-game, I won't hit it. To me, that's a wonderful live bet. Totals are a great live bet. Quarterback rushing props, great live bet. Although Tom Brady's in this one, so that might take half the equation out. But yeah, I think the total is a live bet spot, unless you have a threshold. You know, you came up with the number, you're uncomfortable at 56.5 because it could go either way. This thing skyrockets, you know, 2 points. Okay, then you hit the under. Wait on the total.
And Holden, for our serious XM listeners, what is your Super Bowl lock? What are you most confident in that you are betting this week?
All right. I never have a lock. I'll never have a lock, but I know what you're getting at, Aaron. So
you
I don't want to be
lock?
Silly
Come on.
About this. How about this? Well, it's all semantics with me. It's like I'm not an expert. I'm an analyst. All right. Give me Darrell Williams over 7.5 carries. My quasi lock.
That's your lock of the week.
Sure.
We got to get you to get in the overs, the locks, taking the fun props, the coin toss. We're going to have to try to figure out a way to convince you with that.
Under.
Thank you so much for joining us, Holden. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
We do this 24 hours a day, working hard to bring you the news you can use. Get on the grid. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Kevin, there are some trade rumors surrounding J.J. Redick. It looks like the 76ers, the Nets, and Celtics could be the front runners for this. What do you think about the Pelicans trading J.J. Redick?
So I think this is really, really interesting because J.J. Redick has a respected pedigree in this league. He's been around for a long time. I think we're in year 14 or 15 of J.J. Redick. What's really interesting is how terrible he has been this year. Awful. J.J. Redick is a career above 40% shooter from beyond three-point land. This year, He's shooting below 30% from three. One of the best shooters in the world. Yeah. He's been awful, Aaron. So what I'm going to be interested to see as to who, and I'm curious if you want him to come back to Philly, I'm going to be interested to see if this guy figures it out, because he's been dreadful during this season.
If he's hitting those threes, yes, I want him back on the 76ers. I mean, we have Ben Simmons. He's stepping up. He just did last game, like we talked about earlier in the show. But J.J. Redick, when he's hot, he's hot. And you can depend on him, I feel like, in the playoffs, just like you can with Jimmy Butler. But again, if his play is declining, then coming to the 76ers might not be the best thing. But out of the Nets and Celtics, say these three, where do you see him going and where do you think he can contribute, given that his play does increase and he starts making those threes?
Yeah, I think the Sixers makes the most sense, unless his value is really, really low, because you could see Brooklyn being interested, although, yeah, that's what Brooklyn needs, more offense. Goodness gracious, guys, read the room. But maybe he's interested in Brooklyn. I think Philly, does make some sense there. I know Boston just lost Marcus Smart for the next 2 to 3 weeks, but I'm pretty sure that there is maybe no player in this league more opposite of what Marcus Smart brings to the table and J.J. Redick. So I think Philly would be the team that I would expect him to land on, but it looks like he's going to go to one of these Eastern Conference powerhouses.
It'll be interesting to see where he goes. We'll catch you tomorrow, guys, here on the Early Line at 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Since you were a little kid, you've always loved sports.
So have we.
One of us. One of us.